This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. I'll be your host today alongside co-host Ryan Cozy. We've been doing this a little while now. I act like it's been years. It's been a few months.
It feels like years.
It feels like years, Ryan. Great weeks of talking with, you know, going back a month or so ago with our Christ Together Network friends in California.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, the last 2 weeks with Jim Murphy.
Yeah.
Just a great guy. Great addition to Western New York.
Yeah.
Sorry, my voice gave out there.
No,
great
he's...
addition to Western New York.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Great guy. We've had a couple of people email in. One guy, Ryan, named Ed, says that he's got a problem with you.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. We'll talk to him at some point. He said, you got to get rid of that Cozy guy. His degrees don't make him all that fancy.
That's sad.
From a guy named Ed. Father. Ed
yeah.
Cozy.
Yeah, there you go.
Just kidding.
Good to hear from my father.
He told me to give you a hard time. He emailed and said, give Ryan a hard time in the air.
So. Touche.
Thanks, Dad.
Good to know you're listening.
No, he actually wrote a very kind email. Proud of his son. Isn't that nice?
Thanks.
So, anyway, that brings me to the point. If you have heard our show and you're interested in emailing or knowing more about it, go to WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs and then Christ Together Radio. You can email us. If you hear something today you want to know more about, or if you want to connect with the guys from Christ Together or Ryan or any of us, give us an email. And it's ctr@wdcxradio.com, or there's a form right there on the website that you can email us. We got a big show today.
We do.
Two of our good friends in studio, Christopher Baldwin from The Vine Wesleyan and Jeremy Hazelton from Village Church. The Vine is out in the Amherst, Clarence, Williamsville area, right, Chris?
Incorrect.
Depew.
Depew.
Yeah, Lancaster.
I'm thinking Eastern Hills. You're an Eastern Hills guy.
We were planted out of Eastern Hills.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where we are.
Depew. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy's right here, right
two blocks away.
Yeah, did you walk or drive?
I drove, sadly.
2 blocks away, I drove.
What an indictment on America that
right.
is.
I'm not doing a very good job of being in
you know, the parking here is terrible.
Yeah, right.
You've got to get in the culture, bro. Everybody walks.
I know. Especially like when you get a 70-degree day early in November, to not walk is, I think it's sinful.
Yes. Yeah. It totally is. Okay, we're going to have a little prayer service. We got our Westing guy here. He's going to, you know, help you out with that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about church planning today, yeah. Ryan. And I'm excited about it because I think this is where the real opportunity lies in fulfilling the mission.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a big part of it. And so for me, I'm personally excited to be working with these guys. Mm-hmm. So this is not just a conversation of, hey, these are friends and we see each other every once in a while. This is we're actually rolling up our sleeves together. We're looking to plant churches together in partnership with other churches in the region. And we only desire for the commitment to that with existing churches to grow and then future churches to grow. And so we do feel like church planting is a big part of the process of seeing the saturation of the gospel happen. It's not the only thing, but we think it's a very important thing mm-hmm. in fulfilling the Great Commission here in Western New York.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be back in just a minute. This is Christ Together Radio. That was Ryan Cozy. Myself, Brett Larson. Ryan is from the chapel, by the way, in case you haven't listened and you're just catching us for the first time. Ryan is the pastor of Missional Living at the chapel across the chapel.
The chapel.
And I'm Brett. I'm a general manager here at WDCX. We're here with our pastor friends, and this is something we've been doing for the last few weeks, just to draw attention to what we believe Christ wants to do in the area of Western New York and even beyond.
Yeah.
But the Church of Buffalo is on the move, and we just want to bring you what God is doing and hope that you'll pray and join us on mission. So we'll be right back with Christopher Baldwin and Jeremy Hazelton.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson along with co-host Ryan Cozy. Talking about church planning today on Christ Together Radio. A couple great weeks and really great months of programming, just talking about different ways that God wants to wants us to join him on his mission. And today we're going to focus on church planting, especially locally here in the Buffalo area with a couple of our friends, Ryan. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you've been involved with for how long?
In terms of church planting?
Right, in the Western New York, initiative.
Yeah, there's a newer initiative that's been going on, but that has about 8.5 years ago, we were really influenced by a guy in our church and in our region, a missiologist by the name of Dwight Smith, and, continue a friendship with him today. And a number of years ago, he just really challenged us to develop an understanding that in order to see the saturation of the gospel happen in a region, that every man, woman, and child would have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel, that church planting needed to be a part of that. And at the time, the chapel where I'm at, we had not planted one church in our history. Mm-hmm. And so we felt like, okay, we probably need to plant a church, but we've never done it. What does it look like? And so you fast forward 8.5, 9 years, and the amount of stuff we've learned it has been incredible. But on that journey is how I've met Jeremy and Chris over the years. They from that, they're both church planters. Mm-hmm. And so as we got to know each other better over these last handful of years in connecting with other events that are going on in the region, it just seemed that churches were being birthed, and those churches that were being birthed wanted to give birth to other churches. And it just began to make sense to us, like, hey, we need to start being more intentional with this process, because together we can do more than any of us could do separately. And there are things that people get hiccups about, and they think, well, there's no way that this could work, or there's denominational differences, there's all sorts of other things that come into play. But the reality is that we've seen a lot of churches planted in the last 8 years in partnership with other churches, and we don't really, for us individually, we've been connected to 25 church plants in the region, and only two of those plants bear our name. The other 23 we've been heavily involved in, and they don't. Nobody would know that the chapel, was about, because it's not about our name in that. It's mm-hmm. about our commitment to it. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, Christopher Baldwin mm-hmm. is here from the Vine Wesleyan Church. Christopher, did you always think you'd be a church planter?
Mm. No. When I was in seminary, actually, I got friends with a couple of guys who were church planting, and I kind of looked at them with two heads and 10 eyes, I had no idea, like, why would you do that? Why would you go to a community maybe you're familiar with or you're not familiar with and try to gather people? I just thought that the existing church needed so much revitalization that, I don't know, church planting just didn't make any sense to me, and but then, just journeying with God and eventually coming to that place. And I remember the night that I was finally telling my wife, saying, I feel like God's calling me to plant a church. And I did that months or maybe almost like a year in advance, to say that, I think that we need to be thinking about this and praying about it and, might be a part of our future. And I was on staff on and off for a number of years with Eastern Hills, and at one point that I was away pastoring my own church, but sensing this, and then connected with Pastor Carl and Anita Eastlack, and they too were putting together a plan to, start a new church. So they put together their plan and my call, and, eventually the Vine was birthed.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, what got you started just thinking church planting? Is it something you've always wanted to do? Or
Well, it is and it isn't. I came to church planting really not from a great place, but from a place of sort of rebellion from what I had grown up with. My dad was a preacher, and, growing up in a church household, you get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. And so I, even my own sort of re-embracing of faith as an adult was pushed through a lens of difficulty as it related to the church. For me growing up, church was the thing that kept dad out at night and kept him away from baseball games mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And so I was like, I don't really want to do that. And so I sort of reluctantly backed into ministry to begin with. And then to go from that place to, I found myself working in established churches early on in ministry doing youth ministry, and like a lot of guys who did youth ministry, I would see kids graduate and then disappear. Mm-hmm. And so then you start asking them, well, where did you go? And it's like, the big church, whatever that means, isn't for me. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I would go here if I didn't work here. Or I don't know if I would invite my friends here, you know. And so then it was like, well, certainly there's got to be a better way to do this. And so my initial attraction to church planting was really out of rebellion from the established church. Like, I need to be a part of creating something new that people actually want to be a part of. And that's an over-cynical characterization of the churches I grew up in. They were solid churches that taught me and, you know, helped me love and embrace Jesus for sure. But there were a lot of things about them that made particularly engaging lost people difficult. Hmm. Like, there was a lot of insider, you know, language. There's a lot of established tradition and norms that made, you know, certainly some of my friends, they were like, yeah, church really isn't for me. And so my initial attraction was I would love to be a part of creating a community that people felt like was for them. Hmm. Now, I have incredible love for the church. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that the church is for everyone. But I think sometimes we've made it more difficult than it needs to be for people to be able to attend and belong to a mm-hmm. community of believers and really understand what it is to walk out their faith. And so that was my initial attraction, was how do I create a place that my friends who are not church people would want to go and be a part of?
Let me ask you guys this, and Chris, maybe you can answer this. When you're starting to plan a church, and you're kind of thinking what it's going to look like in your head, like, I can imagine you're just kind of going, okay, I kind of you almost like picture like what you want your front to look like or what you want your stage. You kind of just imagine things. Is it difficult to balance you know, the traditional kind of things that do matter and don't matter, and figure out, okay, what you get a blank slate. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like a heavy responsibility to go, what do I want this to look like? Mm-hmm. And the weight of that, is it bigger than people think?
Mm. Well, I think, you know, I say that every new church is started in the heart of the church planter. You know, I think that when you journey with God on such things, and God begins to give you kind of those pictures of what he's desiring for it to look like and things like that. And yeah, what happens, I think, in a new church is that, you know, I mean, many good new churches are started on the biblical foundation that many churches have. But then in a new church, yeah, what you do is I think it's an opportunity to give a chance for a greater understanding of people who don't come to church. And so what is it? What might we do? You know, what kind of atmosphere might we create? What kind of culture would we have that would really open our doors and allow people, you know, to come in? And so, I don't know. I think, you know, God kind of gives you that vision and you just begin to kind of, you know, work that out and see how that connects and how it's made happen. And so then eventually you have a ministry that, you know, maybe desires to get outside the walls and, you know, feels like it's there, you know, for a purpose. And I think, you know, churches are planted all different kinds of ways. But, you know, one of the things people tell us about the Vine is that it's a place that's really warm and friendly. And I think what with us is that now we're 12 years old, but still we're not far removed. Not a generation has passed, but, you know, we're still in these early years where we felt like we've been sent out to this community, to reach people in the community. And so our people are so excited when we have new people, you know, mm-hmm. and they're friendly and greeting them, and they're not worried about them taking their seat or, you know, and things like that. And so, you know, it is just an atmosphere where we feel like we've been sent here, you know, for people.
Three generations haven't sat in that same pew.
That's right. That's right.
You're in my family's pew. We paid for that. Our name's on it.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, and yeah, and, I mean, there's other things about a new church. Maybe we'll get into that. But, you know, we don't have kind of the history, or, you know, some churches have a reputation in the community. And so, you know, if people kind of sense that maybe this is a place for I can connect and it's a place of opportunity. And so they come. And so we just tried to, you know, steward people well. But mm-hmm. I tell you, what is fun, though, is when you watch unfold what God has placed in your heart and what he gives to you. Because mm-hmm. when you're a church planner, you know, you have a front row seat for everything that God does, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, 12 years in, for the buildings that we have, the ministries that we have, the outreach that we do, You know, it's like, yeah, you know, I say from the pulpit, like, this is the church that I always dreamed of pastoring, mm-hmm. you know. And so in that way, it's a lot of fun.
Ryan, is that the benefit of starting afresh? And is that one of the reasons that, you know, with the Church Planting Initiative, it's such a key role in missional advancement?
Yeah, I think so. I think it also is, it's the church being in tune with the fact that as culture is changing, like there's a shift that's going on in Western New York. Western New York is a community that is getting older, but there's also new life that is coming in. And in addition to that, you have different encounters. Like, people have different experiences with church. And one of the categories that's really growing is people that have had no experience with church. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that churches would be birthed and that they exercise a consciousness toward that, that's really important when it comes to saturation. So it has to go beyond a consumptive model, right? So you know, when people talk about, you know, jumping around to different church plants, and they talk about the, you know, sometimes conversations tend toward like services that are offered, or mm-hmm. way that someone preaches, or way that they get into worship, you know, as expressed in song, stuff like that. I'm not terribly interested in those conversations. But what I'm very interested in is being connected and being partnered with guys like this, where I watch something get planted. I watch something be given birth to, and I watch how the people that are in those local bodies, they exercise a concern for those people in that community. And to me, that's part of the conversation that I like. And that's, you know, when it comes to planting for us here in Western New York, then that's a part of a conversation I'd want to be a part of. I don't like being a part of the idea of, well, we've got to plant a new church because, you know, people want this now, or they want that. Like, I have no interest in that.
The attractional model?
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of interest in that. And some people might say, well, how could you say that? You are connected to a large church in the area, and as a result of that, like, you must want to reproduce, you know, that. And I guess, got to be honest, like, that's not our primary interest. Our primary interest is to take resources that God has entrusted us with and steward them well, to be connected with other people, to see new expressions of the church birth, because we need attractional church, we need high church, we need low church, we need secret church. We need churches to be planted, but we need them to be planted with a sensitivity toward the lost that are around them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like both Chris and the folks that are connected to the Vine, I feel like Jeremy and the folks that are connected to Village, I'm really excited about how they do that. And I'm looking forward to partnering with them in seeing new churches birthed that are going to do that better too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so. I think seizing on something that you said, and this has certainly been my experience at Village, and I think every church planter goes on this journey in some form, or should maybe, you realize very, very quickly that whatever vision you have for what your church was going to be or is going to be, very rarely corresponds to reality, right? Like it just doesn't. I mean, you might have dreams or visions about certain things that have come to fruition, but the reality is the people who come, you can't, it's impossible to predict mm-hmm. who's going to be a part. You can have some target demographics and all of that stuff. But I think the thing that changes the game on that is you realize very quickly there's a huge difference between planting a church and planting a church service. And so, like, a lot of that consumptive stuff that you talk about, like, is the preaching good? Is the band good? Is the, you know, is the coffee, you know, legit? Like, all of these things become secondary to what is this community that we've gathered actually about? You know, like, and so you realize, yeah, the service stuff is important. Like, obviously, we're going to do that on Sundays, but If that's all that we're doing, this thing gets pretty thin pretty fast and doesn't really make a lot of sense. Yes, I mean,
especially in today's culture.
Nobody's going to give their life to that.
Right.
Like, and if they do, like, they really need to, like, have some friends in their life who can help them understand that faith is a lot bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's like the difference between pastoring people and preaching to people. You know, like those are different things.
Right. Very different things.
So, you know, putting together a service, great sermon, awesome. But like actually walking with people Monday through Saturday.
That's where the hard work gets done.
Yeah, man.
You mean pastors don't work one day a week?
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I mean, it's challenging.
It is. It's very challenging. I want to hear more about your different ministry contexts. Very different.
Yeah, sure.
And kind of how you got to Depew and to downtown Buffalo and and also the church planning initiative, Ryan, and what's going on there and future plans or whatever.
Yeah, sounds good.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. If you want to email us, go to WDCXradio.com, go to programs, Christ Together Radio, and you can find out all about Christ Together Radio. And also there's an email form there. You can let us know what you're thinking, or hey, maybe you want to give these guys a note of encouragement for following what God is doing in their lives. We'll be right back after this.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brent Larson along with Ryan Cozy. We're talking with Christopher Baldwin and Jeremy Hazelton today, church planners from the Western New York area, just about the process of church planning, what's going on in Buffalo and how it relates to what God is doing on his mission here to reach every man, woman, and child with the gospel. You'll hear us talk about every man, woman, and child with repeated opportunities to hear and see the gospel many, many times. That's the mission, the motto, the mission of Christ Together, and it makes sense. And when we break that down, it includes a piece of that, a big piece of that is church planting, and talking with Ryan Cozy today about that. Ryan, tell us briefly about the church planting initiative within Christ Together, what that is, how it got started, how many people are involved in this?
Sure, yeah. So just back to that conversation about 8 years ago when we started planting some churches, one of the first churches we planted in partnership with other churches was a church called Northgate Church, and that's Pastor John Hasselbeck who's over there. And God's been doing some great things in and through the life of that church, and we have happily supported them for a number of years and just grateful for the partnership that we have with them. But about that time, 8 years ago, Dwight Smith had mentioned to us that, you know, you guys should really be interested in wanting to plant one church for every 50,000 people in Western New York. And I was just like, well, we haven't even done one, you know, at the time.
One per million.
Or actually, we may have just, I can't remember the timeline on Renovation Church because I wasn't employed at the chapel at the time, so forgive me if I'm off on my timeline there. But we planted Northgate Church, and that was kind of the first one we did in partnership with other churches. I think it was 14 churches from 7 denominations helped to plant that church. And so, okay, there's one. But what happened was in about of October of last year, I began to kind of look around the total number of churches that I knew we were connected to, but then other churches that had been planted with a DNA similar to the every man, woman, and child idea. And so I just started looking around and going, you know what? We actually have seen 25 churches planted in this region.
Wow.
Which, when you do the math on Niagara and Erie County, is one church for every 50,000 people. Hmm. And so I remember walking into the Daryl Argus's office, who has now gone to be with the Lord, and said, "Daryl, you know, I don't know if you know this, but we kind of hit that metric that Dwight talked about." And he's like, "No way." I said, "Yeah, look, this is a list of churches, and that we personally have been connected to." And he's like, "You know, does Jerry know?" I said, I don't think so. So we sat down and I just explained, like, here's my documentation of all that's happened. And from what I can tell, that's one church for every 50,000 people in our region. And I said, but nobody really knows this.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, why don't we get together and start talking about this with our partners? And so in January of this year, I began to reach out to partners. And I think it was we finally gathered in March of this year, where I sat down and shared with folks, like, hey, the churches we've been connected with, many of you are those churches. And I don't know if you know this, but there's one church for every 50,000 people. And what we quickly realized was actually that, like, yeah, those were churches that we had been connected with planting, but there were a number of other churches that, hey, don't forget about this church. Don't forget about this church. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, refugee churches. I remember Brett Cockrell standing up going, hey, don't forget these churches have been planted.
Yeah, right.
And Chris, you stood up and said, hey, don't forget the Wesleyans have planted these churches. And I just, I mean, even now I'm getting goosebumps because I remember going, wow, it's never been about like we don't have the market cornered. So please hear me when I say that. But to know that God had allowed us to get to where we wanted to get, but that he had gone above and beyond that was like just this overwhelming reality. And so I positioned a question to the group, which was, hey, we celebrate this, but do we sense that God might want us to go on a journey of examining what a tighter knit partnership looks like with church planting? And at the end of that meeting in March, everybody felt like, according to the Spirit, that they felt like, yes, it seems like we should walk down this road. So we have. And through that process, a subcommittee was formed, of which Jeremy is on that subcommittee and Chris is on that subcommittee. I'm on that subcommittee. And we're trying to take the interest of those folks and put a plan in place where, as we secure resources, financial resources, we can also begin to examine where potential partners are in the region that want to plant churches, and then we can actually resource them to plant churches. And so it really kind of was birthed out of that, and it's been encouraging. Just as a quick highlight, through this initiative of working with other churches, we've raised about $200,000.
Wow.
That we're able to give away starting in January of next year. And those that $200,000 is great, but there's another 25 churches that have decisions on hold. They're talking with their elders, mm-hmm. and they're examining what they might be able to do in that. And the gifts are different. Like
these are churches that want to plant churches out of their
this network.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the CPI, which there's about 40 churches involved in this.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, for the sake of clarity, I think it's important to note that the church planting initiative is not the pet project of one church. It is literally churches from a variety of denominational stripes, suburban, rural, urban, putting money together and saying, What if we collectively issued grants to church planters to see more churches pop up? You know, okay, great. We planted one for every 50,000 plus the dozens that we are learning about that were also planted.
Yeah.
What would it look like for us to just do this together? Like we can clearly do more together than we can do on our own. Mm-hmm. And so,
you guys realize how rare this is? I mean, it seems rare. I mean, growing up in a world of church, and not even just locally, just kind of nationally, knowing people who are involved in Christian media who run big churches and stuff, this is not normal. It doesn't seem like it's normal. And so, like, what had to happen in the minds of so many denominational pastors with so many ideas about everything from whatever context of ministry to kind of what people have to check stuff at the door.
I mean, my two cents is two things. I mean, I'm a relative newcomer to Western New York. Yeah. But I think like a lot of people who are not from here, when it was suggested that I entertain moving to Buffalo, I was like, yeah, I'm not really, no thanks. The implication was this is a place that's dying and we have seen a lot of decline in the church. I mean, mm-hmm. Right where this station is and, where we live downtown, there's a lot of churches that aren't facilitating worship services anymore. There have been a lot of churches that have closed and a lot of people that left. And so I think there's a very practical side of this that, desperation has forced collaboration. Like, hey, listen, man, this thing is in trouble, and so we better figure out how to work together. And I think that's absolutely a true thing that has happened. I mean, there are still regions in this country where people don't recognize that Christendom is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't feel the need to collaborate and work together.
Right.
But I think the second thing, and this is the one that's harder to explain to people who maybe don't understand faith particularly, is that the Spirit of God has actually created the conditions for people to recognize that his mission is bigger than their church. And as practical as it is that, oh, our church is not going to reach everyone in the region or even everyone in our zip code,
mm-hmm.
there's also a Spirit of God thing that says, But God wants to reach those people. So I can either be disobedient to that call and not work together, prohibit other people from playing in my backyard, or I can join God in what he wants to do and is already doing. And so that second piece of there really is a sense of God is doing something here and you're allowed to participate. Well, I mean, when Ryan says it seems good to the Spirit and it seems good to us, you know, pulled directly from the book of Acts, mm-hmm. that's a very real thing that is at the heart of this collaboration.
It's a good example too. What I love about it is it's a good example of how we're supposed to react when things get a little weird out there, when things get a little hairy. Culture is a little different now. Postmodernism has changed the whole course. It's in the church. It's changed everything. And we tend to panic as Christians and want to hold on to what we know. I grew up this way. You know, church looks like this. Church feels like this. Culture feels like this. And I want to hold on to it. But in that culture change, it does exactly what you said, Jeremy. It forces us to start thinking different, and then it allows God to move in a new and different way that was bigger than we could ever imagine, because now we're not holding on to what we always knew. We're going, okay, we don't have a choice. I got to accept these guys. We got to pull in. And then bigger things happen out of that.
You also recognize
it's a good life lesson.
Yeah, you also recognize that, you know, some of the people who would prefer to worship in a church like the Vine would maybe not feel particularly compelled to worship at a church like Village. Or, you know, folks who maybe are drawn to some of what the chapel does, it, you know, might be different than the people who worship at Northgate, you know, which is down the street. Like, why would you plant a church down the street? You know, oh, because people might actually go there that don't go here. Like, right. They might actually reach some people who we won't have the opportunity to reach. And so there's a very practical side to this.
Because there was a day it's like, hey, we'll help you plant a church, but you got to go over there.
Yeah, right. Or it's got to be just like us. Like, we only do this. This is the kind of church we plant. Yeah. I mean, that's another one of the things that's remarkable about the CPI is there's room for house church, bivocational, traditional launch, urban, suburban, rural. You know, like there's a lot more wiggle room in this. It's not, okay, we plant this kind of church. Mm-hmm. It's, no, we plant churches.
And it allows you to do a lot more, Chris.
I think it also makes a lot of sense if you just pause for a moment and think about what God has been doing in our region over, you know, last 10 to 15 years, you know, that, I mean, that it's kind of like, yes, you know, this is the time because, you know, we have people like Mike Chori, Michael Nieves, I mean, real forerunners, you know, 12, 13 years ago that were, you know, starting these new churches. And then you have the chapel in Eastern Hills who, you know, begin something. But then over the last 10 years, you know, God has brought to our region, I feel, people like Chad and Jeremy. He's called others home like Derek and Dan. And so, there's many of these stories. I'm not saying this is it, but I'm saying there's a number of these kinds of stories that when finally somebody just brought us in the same room and said, what do you guys think about this? I mean, it became like the real natural thing, you know? And plus we've been meeting, whether it's been Renovation or Infinity Alliance. And so we've been building these relationships for, you know, 8 years. And then, you know, the other really critical piece is that, you know, what I'm aware of is over the last 5 or 6 years is that there's been, you know, a significant prayer effort when it comes to our region, you know. And it only was growing as we began to see the other parts of Western New York, Buffalo area being restored, you know, whether that's through the medical campus, Canal Side, and things like this, that we realize that, you know, as a region, this is turning a corner. And so it gained momentum and more people praying to say, all of this that's going on in the physical realm, we want to see this in the spiritual realm. And so, you know, all of this, you know, coming together. And, you know, what makes it easy is just when we humble ourselves and we say that we're not the answer, you know, and ultimately what we want is just for God's will to be done, and we can do this working together, then we have an opportunity to come together in prayer and in working together when we focus on what we have in common, you know, because that is so much more. What we have in common is worth so much more and is so much more than what divides us, you know. And the other thing too, you know, with all of these new church plants, I think that church planters and these new churches, you know, kind of have the heart just for more new churches. But I'll put out a phrase, I call it contextualization, which is used in the mission field for many, many years, you know, that you go somewhere, you understand the people, and then you begin to build the bridges in the community by which the gospel can be communicated. And I think that, you know, there's a greater understanding, foundational understanding, that we need new churches, and we need them in each neighborhood, and we need them in each community, where, you know, someone will go and a team will go, and they will understand the community and these people, and they will desire to bring a church that will minister to these people. That makes sense. You know, it's not it's not like, you know, one like, oh, we've been given this model from on high, and so this is the way we're going to do church and reach people. But rather, we go in as learners, and we understand a community, and then we start a church that, you know, pray makes a difference.
We got to take a quick break here in just a minute. But when we come back, I do want to talk about your individual ministries. I know, Chris, you're doing some stuff in Depew with some recent drug issues that have come to light in the area. And Jeremy, you got a really interesting context down here. That one intrigues me.
It just intrigued me too.
Yeah. It just, wow. And it's probably got a lot of sensitivities and a lot of things you have to watch out for. So I'm kind of interested to know more like, you know, boots on the ground. What does it look like with what you do? And also, how can people get involved, and what can people do to the common person listening to support what is happening in church planning and taking the gospel forward with that? So, Christ Together Radio. If you want to know more about us, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs and Christ Together Radio. There you can find out a little bit about the show, and also send us an email and communicate with us, and we'd love to answer your questions or point you in the right direction if you're interested in talking to someone further about what Christ Together does. We'll be back right after this.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, where all the fun happens in the breaks. We're coming back from another break. We always laugh every week because we have such a good time in the breaks because we can't let you hear what these pastors talk about. I'm just kidding. Christ Together Radio, I'm Brett Larson with Ryan Cozy. Christopher Baldwin and Jeremy Hazelton, pastors in the area, joining us today. We're talking all things church planning and how that relates to the mission of what God is doing in Western New York. And some really cool conversations. Some of it's a little deep and heady. I get it. But it's important for you all to hear what is going on behind the scenes and the hearts of the people who are involved in church planning in Western New York. And Jeremy, you said something really interesting in the break, and I'm going to make you say it again.
Sure. Yeah. You'd asked me earlier what were the things that led to the collaboration. And I highlighted the desperation and also the Spirit of God moving. And I think part of unleashing the Spirit of God into moving churches towards collaboration has been a longstanding prayer effort that I recognize has existed in this region for literally years and years and years. Men and women in rooms gathering, praying that God would do something in our city, in our region, to bring people together, to breathe fresh air into His church and His kingdom in this place. And so as a relative newcomer, I recognize that, you know, my tenure here is in the sweet spot of where those faithful prayers are beginning to come to fruition. You know, it's not that I just showed up and figured out how to do this all of a sudden, or that Chris did that, or that our church planting efforts are the magic cure-all. These are parts of answers to long-standing prayers for men and women who have been laboring, you know, both in prayer and in social justice initiatives, and working in challenging, tough places, and laboring through, you know, population decline, and laboring through churches closing, and just crying out to God, asking that He might again bless and pour out favor on the churches in Western New York. Mm-hmm. And so I want to always remain grateful and cognizant of the fact that what I'm able to do now is because I'm standing on the shoulders of people who've gone before. And it's really cool to to be able to see people see fruit from prayers they've been praying for literally decades.
You know what's interesting, Jeremy, is in church, the church planting world, and my brother-in-law runs an entire church planting network, so I'm kind of familiar with this sure. world. And there's these different models that they put forward. You got to do this, and this no longer works, and this does. And your model, or what you kind of did, is similar to what a number of people have done in context of what we've done here. And that's like the parish, they call it the parachute model.
Yeah, right.
Where you just come to a place that you didn't grow up in. You don't really know that.
Right.
And you just kind of start. But here's the cool thing is that with all these models that people say come and go, it's yes. That's what I love about what I've heard from you guys today is like, yes. And prayer. Prayer now for the future, prayer, you know, beforehand that you're leaning on is the difference maker, not the model.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for the common denominator between, you know, for what, like a thing that's timeless,
right.
a principle to apply, it's that.
It's that. Yeah. That's to me, I think it speaks a lot about the validity and the very real, open-handedness of what is happening, with the men and women who are involved with church planting in Western New York. It's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And to me, I appreciate that. There's some things that church plants do, and that all churches do, but Christopher, especially in your context, you're jumping right into the community. Mm. And you almost, as a church plant, have some freedom, some ability. You're more lean. To be able to meet those needs. And recently, if you haven't seen it in the Buffalo News, if you're listening online, or if you're not from the area, or maybe in Toronto or somewhere where you can hear us, there's a heroin epidemic. Really, it's all over the country, even in rural environments everywhere. There's a real heroin issue, especially in the eastern parts of the city, like Depew, Cheektowaga area, where you serve. Mm-hmm. Tell us what's happening and how your church is responding to that.
Mm. Well, I think, you know, just as you know, when you plant a church and your desire is to make a difference in the community, and then some of it's out of desperation because you know you need people and you want to connect with people. But, you know, for a while, you know, the Vine is desired to build relationships with our community. So we host, like, Depew's Memorial Day service. We host the 4th of July service for Lancaster. So we have a number of just ways that we're involved and we serve our communities already, you know, praying at meetings, mm-hmm. things like this. And so just out of that, you know, your heart, I think, continues to grow in this way. And so then when you see issues, you're desiring and your leadership desires to say, what might we be able to do with this? I think the other thing that's impacted us greatly is that we got involved and we redid one of the buildings on our campus and brought the community food pantry there. And, you know, one is to help out that food pantry now, you know, ministers about twice as many people and offers, you know, services five and six times. So it's wonderful the way that it's grown. But it's also that regular opportunity of people coming every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday to our campus from our streets all around, get to interact with them and say, you know, what's going on in your life and how might the church help? And then it is the, we see it all over, the heroin mm-hmm. epidemic. And so, you know, I was breaking my heart because I was making a presentation at a meeting and a guy goes, oh, yeah. He goes, they consider William Street that goes from Lovejoy mm-hmm. out to Lancaster, heroin alley is what the authorities call it. I had no idea. But again, that kind of thing just breaks my heart, you know. I mean, others are wanting me to talk about it. We're just on the fringes of it, so mm-hmm. we're not, like, you know, huge out there yet. But I would say that the heroin epidemic is a complicated problem that I feel like needs a more holistic solution that the church can offer. And so when you think about what's going on here is that you have someone who is addicted, which mm-hmm. we call a recovery. Speaking that hope into them, and then their family, you know, because families ride all of this with them, you know, the good days, the bad days, and the days we're clean, and then the days that fall off the wagon, things like this. And so what we're desiring is to, what we call embrace ministry, is to embrace a recovery in a family. And so it has a few different dynamics. So one is obviously inviting them to regular Sunday service, so you've got that anchor in your life, living free discipleship. So helping them to understand how Scripture applies and how being a disciple of Jesus can give us what we need, the tools and the power that we need to overcome addiction. The next aspect of it is counseling and coaching. That would help them to deal with the issues, you know, that are part of their lives that are what's drawing them into addiction and what keeps it going in their life, and also coaching to try and help them to get over some of these hurdles, you know, of job and things like this. And then another part of it is the medically assisted part. And we're connecting with CMDA and a couple of the doctors. Really, these resources are kind of all over Western New York. And what our effort is just coordinating an effort, coming around a family. And, you know, the medically assisted piece is big, you know, with use of Vivitrol, or they're now coming out with implantable Suboxone, that, you know, you're giving somebody a chance now to not experience the cravings and to maybe spend a month making better and good decisions in their lives that help them, you know, to move forward.
So that's actually, I mean, none of us are medical professionals in here, but that's actually like almost like a patch, like the nicotine patch, but it's for heroin.
Right, that blocks what happens, you know, when you're addicted. I'm learning a lot of all this, you know. You have what happens in your addiction is that now your body, you know, creates this physical need. And so this with this medical assistant, you can block, you know, some of those sensors so that, you know, you don't have the craving so much. And you've got some time to make some better decisions, you know, to set your life right. But you know, so this past two Saturdays ago, we simply had a seminar that we called Understanding Addiction and Recovery, because the last piece we're working on are support groups right in our own church for recoveries and for families or friends. And so we just did this simple seminar just to introduce it to our people. And I was hoping for 10 to 12 people, but we had 60 people show up. And so some of it was families and, you know, actually there was 12 churches that were there. And five or six of them are ones who run recovery groups in their church, but have never had any kind of training, you know. And so we had, you know, trauma, wounding, forgiveness, boundaries, self-care, also the you know, effects of the body and the brain of addiction, physical effects. You know, why is it you can't just shake somebody and say, what are you doing? You know, like, can't just snap out of it, you know. And so it was, so felt like it was 4 hours that were very, very helpful. And now our next step is we have a training coming up November 16th. That's a Wednesday night from 5 to 9 on facilitating faith-based 12-step programs. And so now we're just trying to resource the church, you know, because there are groups and there are, you know, churches that have groups. So we're trying to, you know, help them to, you know, feel good about what they're doing, like they have a knowledge base. And so the Lord's really is doing, you know, way much more and is moving this forward. But, you know, people are getting helped and they are experiencing healing. And we're finding giving Christ as a solution, what we're discovering, and even UB is studying this, faith-based programs with non-faith programs, is that, you know, you're getting a 13% recovery rate in non-faith, and we are probably around 70 to 75 percent in faith-based solutions. So we're hoping, as we continue to connect with communities, you know, we have actually Living Free has come in. Lackawanna, they would like to mandate the recoveries going to church and getting involved in this. And so we have a real opportunity here to serve the community, even the region of Western New York, and make a difference. You know, if you think of all the churches that we have, if they could become a center of hope, you know, then quite possibly we can begin to turn the tide on
this. That's right. It puts real, you know, hands and feet to what church planning can do as we expand our ability to influence culture around us. And Jeremy, quickly, we have a few minutes left in the program here, but I want to hear about Village Church. What in the world? No, what sparked you to start a church down in a really not a rough area, but as far as a church context, a rougher area?
Difficult
area.
I often laugh about that because I feel like I live in the, you know, like the best part of the city. You know, I absolutely love where we live. Our family lives in the Elmwood Village. Our church actually is situated at the corner, you know, basically of the Lower West Side, Elmwood Village, and Allentown, kind of all where they come together. And it's a unique thing about the city. One of the things that I discovered after moving here very quickly is, although Buffalo is a city of a few hundred thousand people, it's pretty neighborhoody, and so everybody kind of stays in their lane. You know, if you live here, this is kind of where you hang out, where you spend your time. And when we accepted the call to plant the church, we knew we wanted to be in a city. We knew that. We felt called to an urban context, and so my wife and I thought that we were going to plant in Baltimore, actually. Mm-hmm. And we were living in suburban Baltimore at the time. We were going to move into the city and do that. And then it was suggested that we come to Buffalo. And that's a story for another day. Mm-hmm. But when we got here, there was just something about the Elmwood Village neighborhood in particular that resonated with us. You know, it is a largely educated, affluent portion of our city. Lots of students and or people with, you know, secondary degrees. Mm-hmm. And so not a tremendous physical need as there is in some of the other parts of the city, but a real spiritual poverty.
Right.
You know, not a lot of folks that were engaged in a meaningful relationship with the church, or would even say necessarily that they had faith at all. And some of whom were not really interested in that at all and weren't even really excited about what we were doing.
Right.
And I just felt very compelled to be right in the middle of that. So we actually started renting space from Narden Academy right in the center of Elmwood Village. Mm-hmm. And then just a couple of years ago, we moved over to our spot where we are now. We meet inside First Presbyterian Church right at Symphony Circle. Yeah. Our church looks like the three neighborhoods that we pastor. Mm-hmm. So we have people from the Lower West Side, we have people from Elmwood Village, we have people from Allentown. In fact, the overwhelming majority of the people who belong to our church live within a mile and a half of where we meet.
Really?
Yeah, I mean like 85% of them live within a mile and a half, which is remarkable to me. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of our church. Now, certainly it presents a host of issues. I mean, this is a very different, you know, makeup as it relates to embracing faith in particular. Mm-hmm. But you know, our church has been able to be faithful to the gospel and faithful to what God has called us to. And we've seen lots of men and women who maybe wouldn't have felt at home in other churches discover who Jesus is and what he wants from them. And that's certainly a complicated thing to walk out, depending on who these people are and what they've got going on. But we've been really fortunate to be in the middle of that. And
that's what it's all about. And we're running out of time here, Ryan, and Christ Together, but we're going to continue. You guys can stick around for next week's discussion about church planning, and we're going to get more involved with what you know, the church planning initiative is doing and how you as a listener can get involved. So listen, join us next week at 11 a.m., same time, same place, Sundays at 11 a.m. here on WDCX. Check us out on the web at WDCXradio.com. Go to programs and check out Christ Together Radio. You can hear our old episodes there, by the way. If you want to catch up on what's happening, they've kind of progressed in a linear fashion in a way. We've kind of approached each topic as it's graduated, so to speak. And so if you want to listen to our old programs, tune in there. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy and our guests Christopher Baldwin and Jeremy Hazelton. We'll see you next week right here on Christ Together Radio on WDCX.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.